Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, September 26th. And that's right, that's the only place you're going to find this show.
Yes,
so just on LA Talk Radio. Good morning. And today is Friday. Indeed, for those who do not know, if you're from another country or something, you may not know it's Friday.
Oh, I guess in Australia it's Saturday.
That's true, huh?
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, well. I know. The time really gets funny when you start going around the globe and you get to Australia and stuff. It's just like, you know, you go a little, it's like the next day already, you know.
I know. It's crazy. The time changes.
We're
8 hours in front of, behind England.
Yeah.
They're 8 hours ahead.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there's the international timeline. If you get to that, that's like over Asia. And I think it happens like in the Pacific somewhere, but it's, you know, there's the prime meridian, which is the, you know, the longitude line that's like zero.
Yeah.
0 degrees. So that one is like 180 degrees. It's like, when you go like 360 degrees, then it's like the next day. You know, so if you fly from somewhere and you come here, you go back one day, you know, which is amazing.
Which is crazy. It is. But then you lose a day when you go back.
Right.
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird, huh? Wow. I know. And it's all because the planet is a sphere, you know.
Right.
That's why we have seasons. Well, the seasons is because the Earth is tilted. So when it tilts the other way, it's summer and then it's winter and so forth, you know. But but the night and day thing, that's because of the rotation. Earth being a sphere, right?
Yeah.
And that's, it's really interesting, you know. I mean, the grand design of this whole universe is just,
it's
unbelievable,
crazy.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, how things work, it's just like this planet is self-sustaining, you know. You have order in the universe, you know, relatively speaking,
right.
I guess.
Do you think there's another planet that has what we have?
People and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like living things?
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't?
I really don't.
I don't know if I do.
I think we're the only ones.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that we're the only ones.
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, there's a lot going on out there, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to imagine there's anybody else out
right.
there, because we've built such a history and culture and life, and it's hard to imagine somebody else doing the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
But you know, I mean, logically, there should be somewhere there.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, I mean, sometimes I'm like, when you get into spirituality and stuff, it seems like everything revolves around the Earth. Mm-hmm. You know, which is kind of like primitive thinking, because that's what they used to think, that the sun revolved around the Earth and everything. They thought everything was Earth-centric.
Right.
But so I don't know if that's my thinking, but I think we're the only ones here. We're pretty much on our own.
Yeah.
You know, and even if there is somebody, we'll never know about it, so
that's
it might
true.
As well not exist.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah,
like they say, if a tree falls and nobody hears, does it still make noise? You know, in the forest.
Yeah.
So yeah. So how's it going?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
You enjoying the weather?
Yeah.
It's still hot as hell, though.
It's a little bit cooler.
Yeah, just a little.
I'm just hoping my mom booked a flight.
Oh, really?
But November 19th. So I'm hoping that the heat stays a little bit.
For her, huh?
After December 3rd, when she leaves, it can be really cold.
Yeah, well, I assure you, it'll be just as hot.
But I
we're
hope
not
it
getting
stays.
Any winter here.
Yeah, I hope it just stays a little bit warmer.
Yeah, warmer, but
come.
This is hot, you know? This is not fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's supposed to cool down.
Yeah. Well, I found that when it's like 73, 75 degrees, it's like perfect outside.
Right.
You know? And that's what I like.
We're apparently going to get the ramifications of some storm that has gone through San Francisco, Lake Tahoe, up to Vancouver.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
So we're going
to
get like the tail end of
it? Well, no, we were just supposed to get cloud and cooler heat. Okay.
Well, so much for that.
There's no cloud. And so.
So much for weather forecast, you know?
Yeah.
They're not that meaningful.
I always watch ABC for the weather because the weatherman, he's called Dallas Rains.
Yes, I know Dallas Rains.
He's just insane.
He's a character. Yeah, huh?
Crazy. So I always watch. It's just like only in LA that he would be the weatherman.
Exactly.
with a name like this. And, yeah.
I know. He like pink shirts and ties and all that stuff.
Yeah, and his suits are always metallic.
Are they really?
Fabulous. Yeah. So that's who I would be. So, Dallas, you're letting me down.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be cooler and...
He's a caricature of a weatherman. That's what he is, you know?
Yeah.
When they do weather people on SNL, you know, that's pretty much the way they do
it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Totally flamboyant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's not an unusual thing. I mean, I've seen in other cities where the weatherman or the weatherwoman were like a little crazy, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it goes with the job, if it's a requirement or whatever. But it does happen, you know? They give themselves funny names like that.
Yeah.
Dallas Rains. Where the hell do you get that name? But obviously, you can't, it's unforgettable.
You don't forget it. Exactly. It's not like Joe Smith is a very typical name. But it's not like, you know, one of those names that easily, it's like, oh, what was his name again? What was his
right,
name? It's exactly. Like Dallas Rains. You know his name.
Yeah. I know. He's been out there forever, too. You know? Tries to look a lot younger than he is, but who doesn't, right?
Right.
Yeah.
There was a 6.2 earthquake in Alaska.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
You could see, I mean, the earth had split, so you could see where the...
Really?
The plates had, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But there was no bad damage, like in the supermarkets, some of the groceries were on the floor, and that was about it. And
yeah.
I don't know, somebody, like the mayor or somebody was talking during the... During when it happened, so it was on video, and it wasn't anything.
It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all. But when they showed a picture of the earth splitting, I was like, wow. I mean, that's pretty intense.
That is.
Oh, someone could fall down there. It wasn't that big, but technically.
Oh, really? So it was just a crack, not even big enough for a person to fall through?
No, I'd probably say it was about feet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Foot long.
Okay.
But, I mean, still a crack.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
From an earthquake.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Yeah. Don't want to see that in my lifetime.
No.
Did you notice on Facebook there's always like people put up gross things and things, you know, it's like I have to go right past it. You know, but you can't help it. You know, you go through your news stream and stuff.
Yeah.
And people put in like all kinds of like, I don't know. I mean, things on their skin and like gross, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, pictures of mutilated things and animals and people. And I'm like, why are people putting this up there, you know? I don't want to see this.
Right.
You know?
No one wants to see it.
Yeah. But even good things like animal videos, you know? Okay, they're cute. It's fine. But it's like every other post is like that.
Right.
You know? I mean, yeah, I like animals as much as the next guy. But come on, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what is this? They do a lot of cute things, I have to admit, though.
Yeah, I would love a dog. I really want a dog.
Did you ever see that video of these ducks going up and down this thing with the?
No.
Yeah, it's like someone built it especially for them. It's like a miniature water slide, and there's little ducks going up and down it, like sliding, you know, on the slide.
Cool.
And you watch this, and it's like the cutest thing, you know. They slide down, they run back up, and they do it again.
That's funny.
I know, you know. So there's a lot of things like that. Or there's a dog. There's a dog that was trained to go and sniff women's crotches when they're in the park lying down.
Oh.
And there's nothing they can do with these women.
That's awkward.
Yeah, I know. The dog just goes sniffs there, and then she's like, she jumps, you know.
Oh.
And
are you a cat or a dog person?
I'm a dog person, actually.
You are?
Yeah. I love dogs. I can't live with them, though. You know,
really?
My kids forced me when they were young. They just went out and got a dog. Didn't ask me, with their mom. And I was just stuck with it. But it was the cutest chihuahua, and I liked it. But then they brought cats, too. And before I knew it, it's like the house full of animals. I'm like, no way. You know. So eventually, you know, their mom and I split up. And then They were free to have as many animals as they want. So now their new home, they have like six dogs and two cats or something, or four dogs maybe. But yeah, they're out of line.
Dogs.
Completely.
I just want one, a little one now, like a Yorkie or a Shih Tzu or a miniature poodle. That's so cute.
Yeah. It's just you're not home enough, right? You'd have to leave them alone.
And I can't see my boyfriend walking a little Yorkie.
Why? There's people doing it all the time. In fact, it's funny. Sometimes I see from my balcony some guys that are really manly and stuff walking around with little dogs.
I think he would put his foot down there. But if it was really small, it wouldn't need that much
walking,
I guess.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But it's still, I think it's unfair for the dog when you leave him at home all day, because they're very social animals, you know.
Right.
Not like a cat. Cats don't care.
Yeah.
It seems.
Mm-hmm. But dogs do. They need the love. And
right. But you know what's interesting? My daughter just came back from college, and she says, I guess, her animals really missed her and stuff. They're all jumping on her and stuff. But she says the cat acted like it was mad at her. It wouldn't come close to her. And then only at night did it sneak in and lie down next to her. But she says for a few hours, it ignored her.
Wow.
Which is really interesting,
huh? Yeah, they're strange animals.
Yeah.
They have weird, different feelings.
I know. It's like, I guess we'll never know what goes through them. But
yeah.
It's interesting to
I like
to
the animals that just hug you and lick you and jump on you. I like those.
Yeah.
Cats are... They don't give enough love.
Right.
I want to be loved, too.
not as much a cuteness factor as with dogs or puppies.
Right.
Yeah, puppies are amazing.
I have a couple of friends that have Bernese Mountain Dogs, and they are the prettiest dogs I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
They're beautiful. I mean, they're kind of the size of a lab or a golden retriever, but they're black, brown, white, all the mixture of colors, and they're just, they're beautiful dogs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great breeds out there.
Yeah.
And it's funny how Chihuahuas have become popular. By the way, I forgot to introduce our guest, and she's calling in now, so we might as well take it. We'll introduce her as she's on. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Natalie?
Good morning. Yes, this is Natalie with A Design Partnership. How are you?
Yes. Natalie Norcross, right, is your name?
Yes.
Okay.
Natalie Norcross.
Yeah, we're doing great, and we're glad you're calling in. I'm looking on your website. You're so beautiful. I wish you'd come in, but maybe next time.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, Natalie, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
I am a licensing agent and a design broker. So we develop high potential opportunities for interior designers and global brands.
Mm. Sounds interesting. So you've got a background in design?
Yeah. So how I actually fell into this is really interesting. I am originally an interior designer by trade. I worked for a large design firm before starting my own company. When I started my company, I actually launched it to great success. It was a time when California real estate was doing really well in 2001.
Mm.
And so I linked up with a couple home builders, and we designed model homes for builders all around Southern California.
Right.
And then I later went on to create a new division of my company doing high-end residential homes. So we would design anything from 7,000 to 15,000 square foot custom homes all throughout really high-end communities in Southern California.
Wow.
And then a few years later, we were approached by a couple of hotel groups. So I started a third division of my company designing for hotels and resorts internationally. So we did some projects with Raffles Resorts and Starwood, and some of our projects were in Germany and the Seychelles Islands and all across the U.S. So I thankfully, had a really great career in interior design and a really booming business. When I had my design business, I also licensed some products with manufacturers, and I manufactured some products that we had sold online.
Mm-hmm. What type of products?
In 2008, I actually sold my interior design business because my husband and I were having a baby, and I kind of intended to be home with him,
okay.
But that didn't really happen. I just, it's so interesting. I had a lot of designers in the industry come to me and say, hey, can you teach me how to be successful? So I started teaching other designers how to be successful. and realized that it was something I truly enjoyed doing and was really passionate about helping my clients find success in their own business.
Right.
But what I had found was when I would, you know, meet with my client, I would tell them what to do and, you know, give them a list of all the things that they needed to do to find success. And we would meet again the following week, and I would, you know, say, so, hey, did you get it done? You know, what were you able to do? And it was really interesting because all of them, every single client came back to me and said, oh, no, I was so busy. There's no way that I could have focused on that. I was, you know, busy with my clients and running all around and building my business, working with my employees. I just didn't have time to do everything on the list.
Right.
So I started this agency, A Design Partnership, and it really was what I felt was a need within the industry to help designers and global brands build their business. So instead of telling them what to do, we actually now give them a brand roadmap and a plan, and then myself as well as all of our employees actually execute that plan for them.
So it's not just, so you're not just mentoring for interior design and designing properties, but also any kind of business that somebody needs help with?
Yeah, we have had a lot of clients in other industries that we've helped, a lot, you know, some lifestyle brands, some fitness brands. So yeah, we have kind of branched out, you know, starting the agency out with designers gave us a good backbone, but there's a lot of other industries that have started to approach us and asking if we can help them. Mainly because we have several different departments within our agency now. We have a public relations department that does traditional PR with magazines, radio, and television. And then we also have a social media and digital marketing component where we have, you know, a social media team that is uploading and and putting up on their social media channels, you know, different things for all the brands that we represent. And then we also do email digital marketing campaigns. And then one thing that we've been launching a lot more recently, which has been very well received, is experiential marketing, where we're actually creating events and experiences that brands can feel and touch and have consumers be a part of, which has been really, really fun.
Sounds good. Now, I mean, the interior design part of it sounds like a lot of fun, you know? It's like having a little dollhouse and then fixing it up the way you want, you know? I never thought about putting, like,
yeah,
model,
you know,
homes together.
Yeah, our clients do everything from high-end residential to hotels internationally. We have some really great clients. One of our clients is the fifth largest interior design company in the world. They have 75 employees. We have another client who is doing one of the largest homes in Southern California. They're designing a 55,000 square foot house in Orange County. So we have, you know, a wide range of clients that are doing some really dynamic projects. We have some other companies that are doing hotels in Waikiki and hotels in China and Asia and Hong Kong and Dubai. So, you know,
right.
We kind of cover the world.
Yeah, that's true. But now, I'm on your website, and you call yourself a personal life designer. So this is more than about business. I mean, you help people with their life as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've done a lot of personal development in my own life and my own career. So I think that, you know, part of even just working with a lot of our clients does get influenced by, you know, their life as well. I'm a big proponent on creating a work-life balance in, you know, our lives, especially because most of our clients are all, like myself, very motivated entrepreneurs.
Right.
So, you know, we're really focused on helping our clients achieve that work-life balance as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, so how can people get a hold of you and find out a little bit more about this? I mean, is this pretty, like, affordable for small businesses and stuff as well?
Yes. Actually, thankfully, we've made it extremely affordable for small business to be able to, you know, integrate into our system and, you know, grow together. So it's extremely affordable. And the best way to find us is to go on our website, which is www.adesignpartnership.com, and you can email or call us with any questions that you have. We're more than happy to give, you know, complimentary quotes or even do kind of a brand business audit, complimentary, especially if they say that they came from LA Talk Radio. I'd be more than happy to, you know, give them a complimentary consultation.
Sounds good. Awesome. Now, I see you've got like a few books that you wrote, right?
Yeah, we actually have a few online ebooks that we've wrote, and then we also have a book that's being released to publishers right now. So, yeah, we have a lot of information that we're ready to divulge to the world. But
is that the 7 success secrets of mommy entrepreneurs?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's not been released yet.
No. It has not been released
yet. Wow, so you really address a lot of different markets and stuff, which is interesting, you know, because you did, it's like, it seems like you started with the interior designers and then moved on to bigger things, and now you're pretty much open to any kind of business.
Yeah, I mean, we're open to helping any type of entrepreneur find the success that they're capable of.
Right.
You know, that's really what our business model looks like, is being able to take entrepreneurs to the next level and help them achieve the success that they would like to achieve within their business. And
right.
I like to tell clients that we are like a huge marketing digital PR machine that your business can literally plug into, so that we can expose who you are to the consumer and to the marketplace. So that's the easiest way to say, if you want to expose your business to the world, then give us a call. We can help you do that.
Yeah.
What do you think is the number one thing that entrepreneurs need to realize?
You know, I think that one thing that they need to realize is that their dream is just a step away. A lot of our clients are saying, you know, we really want to achieve these, you know, elements, or we want to reach this level of success, but we keep on running into this roadblock. And so I've helped a lot of entrepreneurs just kind of tear down the blocks of their success, which a lot of times is just something that I call aligning and letting go, and knowing that, you know, that success is actually really just an arm's reach away. If they just let go and let it happen, that oftentimes it will.
Yeah.
So I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs and just overcoming stumbling blocks within their own selves, so that they can kind of jump over to that next level.
Right. I see. So so now I understand what's going on. You have like more than one website, and I received the one for your life design, and you've been speaking more about what's the other name of the company? What's the name of the company?
A Design Partnership.
A Design Partnerships. Okay, so there you go. Sounds good. So so people can just call you, and I guess they can go on the website, get a little more information, and sounds good. So I mean Charlotte was asking you about an entrepreneur and everything. The thing is that, you know, people often say, well, you know, it's like I failed a couple times, I don't think I can do this, and I don't want to do this anymore. But then, you know, you read that failure is part of it. You know, you have to fail in order to succeed.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. So, how do you handle something like this? What do you tell someone who's like really discouraged and says, you know, I really want to start this business, but, you know, I'm not sure I can do it. I don't have the self-esteem I used to, and so forth. I mean, because failure can be pretty devastating to some people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I actually had a client ask me yesterday, like, what do you do when you have a bad day? Or what do you do when, like, you're failing, and how are you always so, you know, happy? And I said, you know, oftentimes we think of failure as a disappointment or a negative. And, you know, I think that it comes from, you know, training and daily practice of being able to teach yourself, like, what you can learn from each experience that comes across your path, that every experience that is happening to you is a learning experience that you can turn around and turn it into something that can either expand your growth or expand your business or expand your life in some way, as long as you allow it to happen. So oftentimes, you know, I say to clients, if you've had something show up in your life that feels like failure, instead of thinking of it as failure and negative, how can you turn it around and make it positive and learn? And realize that this is actually coming into your life to teach you something of value, and not think of it as a negative, but turn it around and think of it as a teaching lesson or a teaching moment to get you over the hurdle to your next best self.
Right.
So a lot of that, I think, you know, just comes through daily practice. And that's what I love working with entrepreneurs on is, you know, changing over that mindset and not thinking of failure as negative at all, but really thinking of failure as a way that you can grow and expand your life and expand your business.
That's true. But, you know, sometimes I figure, you know, it's easier said than done, because if you put in, like, you know, a lot of your money, all your savings and everything, you maxed out your credit cards, and then you fail, it's not as easy as that. You know, I mean, it's like, how do you recover from something like that? You know?
I mean, the big saying that me and my husband always like to say is, you know, sometimes you've created what we would call an elephant, you know, like that's an elephant story, right?
Right.
So you have all these things happening, and how do you eat an elephant? The only way that you really can eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And that's what I like to teach our clients. And that's what I, you know, teach a lot of our entrepreneurs is, you know, we really focus on building business one block at a time. So instead of getting overwhelmed by your past and everything that you've done, stand in where you are today and how can we build the next brick for what you need to get done today, tomorrow, and the following day. And what if, you know, I heard this really motivational speaker who built a billion-dollar activewear line say that what if the future was only in the next 30 minutes? How would you change your life? And those are the practices that I think, you know, are very healthy business practices and life practices to start focusing on and bringing into your world. Because if you just focused on the next 30 minutes, you wouldn't worry about those stories and those changes from the past, because you'd just be focused on how can I be my best self in the next 30 minutes and how can I build my business one brick at a time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way and a very motivational way to put it.
Yeah, I think sometimes people need a lot of motivation, you know, when they navigate new businesses and things like this, trying to figure out how to do things. But I think also very important is just preparation, you know. I mean, do your research, find out what's going on, try to understand the market before you put in hundreds of thousands of dollars into your business, you know. So you obviously want to learn the lessons before you spend all that money rather than after.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, proper business planning is very important. We, for all of our clients, create what we call a roadmap strategy or a business brand roadmap. And I like to say, you know, a lot of times people, when they're going on a trip, they have a plan. They have a roadmap. You know, they know that they're going to, you know, get in the car and they're going to take this plane, they're going to arrive at this hotel, or they're going to drive here. So normally when you plan a trip, you have kind of a roadmap of how you're going to get there. And we believe the same thing in business. That's what we really, you know, create is roadmap and brand map strategies as to what is your plan? Where are you going and how do you want to get there? And what is your exit strategy? Why are you building this business? What do you plan on doing at the end of it? Where do you want this map or this journey to take you? And what is your destination? And then let's back it out and make a plan. And once we have the plan in place, you can wake up every day and focus every day on what has to happen today in order to get you to that destination.
That's
right. So we're
right,
very, you know, big proponents on building your roadmap for your business.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Because I think many people, what happens is they want to start a business because they're good at something or they thought of something revolutionary and so forth. But so they go about doing it or putting the product together, but they don't have much ideas how to market it and how to get it out there and how to actually build a business model where they can make money. So I think all these things are important, and that's why I think people should come to you before they plan to launch anything, rather than after and having lost money and time and so forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, ideally, we would like to be involved in the beginning. Oftentimes, we have some clients who have tried and failed and then come to us and say, help us find more success. And we have some clients who are, you know, right at the beginning. So we can help entrepreneurs or business owners at all levels of their business and get them to the destination that they would like to admire to.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Natalie Norcross, give us once again the name of the website.
Our website is www.adesignpartnership.com.
Okay. Partnership without an S in the end. Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. Natalie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It sounds fascinating. I'm sure a lot of people can use this, and maybe I could even have used this before, but I've had to learn some lessons the hard way, you know.
but yeah, the School of Hard Knocks is sometimes very challenging, but most of all, I just want to express my utmost gratitude for having me be a part of your show. I really do appreciate it so much. From my heart to yours, I'm deeply, deeply grateful for you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Natalie, and all the best to you.
Thank you. All the best to you as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, very interesting. But you see, that's what happens. People get into something. They get very experienced with it, you know. And then you realize, wait, I can help a lot of people with this too, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think we've had people like that in the past, you know, whether they're life coaches or, you know, I mean, even artists and stuff, you know. They go out there, they realize, wow, I can help other people live the way that I learned to live.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
Yeah, so this happens more with business, and I think people could use all the help they can get launching a business. There's too many things. You know, I mean, I've launched several businesses, and I'm still learning. I'm still reading books on how to launch a business and so forth, you know, because you always learn something new.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, anyway.
The European Space Agency is going to attempt to land its first spacecraft on Comet.
Really?
On November 12th.
Yeah.
Interesting is that?
Makes you wonder what took Europe so long to get to the moon, right? Or to a comet.
Has the USA done that?
Land on a comet? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's going to take 7 hours to do that. And because it takes 28 minutes for the signal to travel back to Earth, confirmation of if it's been successful or not, it's supposed to land at it's leaving at 8:25 in the morning, but you won't hear if it's been a successful landing or not until after 4 p.m.
Okay, I suppose we could wait that long, right? We waited all this time.
It's crazy that it takes 28 minutes for the signal to travel back to Earth.
I know, that's pretty
far. How insane is that?
Yeah.
Like
that's
thinking, yeah, that's kind of mind-blowing that it would take. And especially with technology these days, that they're sending something to a comet, that it's still going to take 28 minutes.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, it's obviously not as fast as the speed of light.
Yeah.
And it does take that, it can take that long, I guess, for the signal. Right. But, I mean, it's amazing that they can get the signal in the first place.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that they're doing that.
I know. Isn't Richard Branson involved in something with space, too? Or am I confusing him with someone else? I think I'm confusing him with the guy from Tesla.
He's ocean.
Yeah.
Richard Branson does a lot with the ocean.
That's true.
I just found that out.
That's true. Although he did fly in a hot air balloon once, and where I think actually his partner died in an accident with a hot air balloon,
really?
I remember correctly. Yeah, I don't know that he was on there at the time, but I remember something like that. Yeah, I don't know why people would get on a hot air balloon. It seems so unsafe to me.
Oh, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think it's cool if you're up there and there's no wings or anything, you know.
I don't. My mom's been on one.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I would like to go on one.
Okay, cool. So you don't have fear of heights. I do.
Yeah, I think that would be. Yeah, I think it'd be interesting.
Might be okay. Yeah, it's funny that I won't go on that, but I'm willing to fly an ultralight, right?
With
the little go-kart with the wings.
Yeah.
I know. But maybe I would feel I'm more in control of that rather than a hot air balloon. I mean, that would just drop like a sack of hot potatoes.
Yeah. But, well, yeah.
Exactly. Except I guess we shouldn't live life like always thinking of the worst, right? Yeah. Except if you're in O'Hare Airport... I guess this guy started a fire and tried to kill himself.
At which
O'Hare in Chicago. And that caused a shutdown and created a lot of, as you can imagine, air travel chaos.
Well, yeah, because that's a big airport.
I think it's the biggest. I think it's the biggest in America.
Yeah, and it's not just, it's a big international airport too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. Wow. So it handles more traffic, I think, than any airport, at least in the U.S., if not the world. But
that's interesting, because I would probably think LaGuardia would, or Atlanta.
Or Kennedy, you mean? Because LaGuardia is a small airport in New York. The big airport in New York is Kennedy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. So you would think that, right?
Like New York? Or even Atlanta.
Right.
Because Atlanta is a big one, too.
It is. It's a hub for a lot of airlines.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm sure that I've read somewhere that O'Hare is pretty large. But at any rate, so it's affected a lot of flights. I guess the story with this guy is that he... I don't know what his story is. Where did I lose that? Oh, there we go. Okay. I guess it's a contract employee, and he set fire and tried to kill himself. And, you know, so they shut down everything when something like this happens. But they're saying it's not related to terrorism or anything, so they don't think it's something to be afraid
Why
of.
Why would he choose to do it in an airport?
Because that's where he works, I guess. Yeah. You know, maybe he was like a disgruntled employee or something. You know?
I guess 850 flights have already been canceled.
Wow. Yeah, but they're saying they're back to normal now. So we'll see how long that's going to last until they catch up. Yeah. But, you know, that's one of the things that really, like, is irritating about airports. It's like, not only are you traveling for like 15 hours on the plane, you got to wait 3 hours at the airport before the flight and all that stuff. And then you have to arrive and go through customs and all that stuff. And then you have to put up with this shit, you know?
Yeah. And it's then I just hate in general when flights are delayed.
Yeah.
And Southwest seems to be the worst.
Yeah.
Delayed flights. Every flight I take is delayed.
Really?
Always delayed.
Wow. And you think they'd be on time because it's like a bus, you know? I mean, they take off every half hour.
Exactly. And they're not doing, I mean...
And it's short flights.
Yeah, they're not. They don't do that. The flights that are super long.
Right. Yeah, makes you wonder. Maybe because they don't have much competition on their lines. Yeah. I'm sure if people could take other airlines, Southwest would be a little more on their toes.
That's true. And probably because, I mean, they're not that expensive. They're a cheaper airline.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're paying that price, and if it's over 30 minutes, you get a free alcoholic beverage if you're over 21.
Oh, really?
So that's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
So
I didn't realize that. When did that start?
Yeah. That's how many people know about it?
That must be pretty new.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, this is funny.
It was Derek Jeter's last home game last night.
Yeah. Is he still playing? I mean, wow. I thought he was retired already.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he got a home run.
Really?
So it was like a big...
Did they say how old he is there in the article? Usually they would say how old somebody is. But, I mean, he's been around for a while. He's got to be in his 30s, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that just shows you in baseball, you can play for a long time. It's not like football.
No.
Football, I mean, you don't last very long. And basketball either. I don't see many many older players in basketball.
Right.
I'm sure there's one or two, but for the most part, you have a shelf life when you're an athlete.
Yeah, definitely. But I feel because baseball isn't as... It's not as physically challenging
exactly.
as some of the other sports. So I feel like that's why... You can be a little older and...
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, definitely the schedule and the regiment is grueling.
Right.
When they're in season, but...
Yeah, I think people are their most vibrant and energetic and strong when they reach like 18, 19, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Because this is the age where they usually recruit soldiers. So... You know, that's the time when they can really perform. And that's the same with athletes. So as you get older, you're not as, you know, as in shape as you were. But kudos to Derek Jeter for being around that long.
Yeah, and it was like a story tale ending. So that was cool.
Did you find out how old he is?
No, my internet won't work.
Really?
No.
Wow. I wonder why.
Slow.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Yeah. I wrote how long is Dirk. It's given me how long he is. He's 40 years old. Wow, 40. 40.
Yeah, it's a long career.
That's a long career.
Long career.
Yeah, I mean, A-Rod is 39. Yeah, that's about it for players that I can see here.
Yeah.
But his salary, $12 million a year.
Wow.
Wow.
A lot of money.
I'm telling you, we're playing here with like small change, okay? We're playing around with small change. That's what it comes down to.
Also, speaking about sports, do you remember the Tony Stewart story where he killed another
driver?
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Well, he's not going to be charged
really?
For what happened. And it's come up that Kevin Ward had marijuana in his system.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever that means, though. I mean, I can't imagine it would make him upset.
Right,
but
yeah.
But how was he behaving? Do you remember?
Who, Kevin Ward?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin Ward stepped out of his
car.
Stepped out of his car. And when you do that, when you're on a racetrack, you're kind of putting yourself in danger. You know
yeah,
what you're doing.
Yeah,
yeah. But the thing is, Tony Stewart, a lot of the other races, this is actually in the statement from his parents, we're reducing speed and not accelerating.
Yeah.
Apart from Tony Stewart. And there was who intentionally tried to intimidate Kevin by accelerating, sliding his car towards him, which caused the tragedy.
Wow. Yeah. I don't think the marijuana in the system had anything to do with it, but of course they're going to blame it.
Exactly.
The thing is that I'm sure when the guy went in that race, he was not smoking pot.
Right.
You know, maybe he did a couple nights before, but you also have to remember that the THC stays in your system for like 30 days.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, he could have used marijuana 2 weeks before that and obviously not high at all.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. But that would be the automatic thing people would say, you know. But I think with marijuana, people are not aggressive, you know. And I doubt that he would have confronted him.
Right.
If he was like that. I mean, but how do you drive a race like that when you're high? I can't imagine. Even if you're a regular smoker, I would bet you he did not smoke before he drove in that race.
I think it like you said, it gives them just something to cling on to that, oh, this isn't Tony Stewart.
Right.
It wasn't his fault, but the family is determined
to prove otherwise, probably, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do? You know, I mean, you don't want it to be in vain when someone dies in your family.
Right. And Tony Stewart has said, it's the toughest most emotional experience of my life, and it'll stay with me forever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you kill somebody, even if you don't plan to.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Wow. Who knows what was going on through his mind? I don't know. We went there, but it's a pretty tragic story.
Definitely.
So now, I guess... BlackBerry still think they can make a difference in the market. They came out with a new phone. It's totally square. It's called the BlackBerry Passport. And probably a little too little too late.
Yeah.
I thought they were dead already. You know, I don't know what they're still doing coming out with new phones.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be buying that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, their business is down like more than 50%. And... just in the last quarter alone. And, you know, but they're still surviving. You know, I don't know how they're surviving, but because I don't know anybody who's still using a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
And, you know, their claim to fame is the physical keyboard and everything. And the new one has that too. But I don't think that many people need that anymore.
No one wants it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten used to everything else, you know.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it's just, I'm sure there's not a lot of apps for it. And,
and now everyone is, I mean, all the phones are pretty much touchscreen.
Right.
Whether you have a Galaxy, an Android, or whatever.
Right.
They're all pretty much touchscreen.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this one has touchscreen and the keyboard, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. But at the same time, I can't imagine anybody buying this. I mean, Windows phones try to make it, and you would think those would because they're compatible with Windows and all that stuff.
Right.
But... nothing, man. They're not even making a dent And neither will BlackBerry. They're wasting their time. But I guess when you're a business, you can't just die, you know?
Yeah.
You have to try.
Gotta try. Yeah, definitely.
So that's that for BlackBerry. I don't know what's going to happen there.
There was a video that was shown. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It was shown on the news last night. It's I couldn't actually find the article on the internet, but it's a state trooper pulling over somebody for apparently, it's an African-American, for apparently not wearing a seatbelt. But he looks startled when they're pulling into a gas station. So I don't think the lights were on. I don't think he was pulling him over the normal way. I think he was just following him. The guy gets out the car, looks a little stunned that the cop's there, like, telling him. And the policeman had said, "Can I get your registration and license?" or something had been said. So the guy goes into his car to get his license and registration.
Right.
The officer comes around with a gun, says, "Put," and assumes that the guy is leaning in for a gun.
Right.
Shoots him in the hip.
Really?
And it's the craziest video.
Wow.
I was just stunned watching it. I couldn't believe that that would happen.
Wow.
When he hadn't done anything wrong, this guy was doing nothing. I mean, he was leaning in to get his driving license and registration, got shot. And you just hear him go, "Why did you shoot me?"
Mm-hmm.
But he's fine. He got taken to hospital and released.
Oh, really? So he didn't die?
But, no, he didn't
die. Oh, good.
But but the policeman shot him.
Right.
For no reason. And I mean, they were showing, I mean, it's a pretty intense video to be showing on the news. But it's just another story of police shooting African Americans.
Yeah,
out of control. It's absolute insanity.
Right.
And
it's good. It's like today you have video everywhere, you know.
Right.
And I guess that was the police car's video, right? Was it
I think so.
The, yeah. Because otherwise, you know, I mean, unless there's a bystander there,
right?
You wouldn't have the video.
But the policeman's been fired.
Already?
Yeah.
Good.
But it's just, I mean, it's out of control.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I know. You know, the thing is, this is that, and they were talking about this on TV yesterday, about, you know, how cops react and so forth. And the thing is this, is that sometimes you got to give them the benefit of a doubt because you don't know who's going to try to kill you. And people try to kill cops all the time. And, you know, so yes, I can understand if you suspect a gun. So don't ask, if you suspect that he's going to reach for a gun, don't ask him to pull out his license and everything from the car, you know, maybe handcuff him first or something, you know.
Exactly. Unless
if you suspect him for something, you know.
Right.
But
it should have been played out a little bit more, the whole situation. Like if the guy had come out with a gun,
right,
like he would have been right there ready. But it was just ridiculous. I mean, there was no reason for this, that this should have happened.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they call driving while black, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad story, you know. I mean, the thing is that, you know, there was obviously no probable cause there. I mean, there was a reason to pull him over, maybe for the seatbelt.
Right.
But not to suspect there's going to be anything fishy there. It's not like there was a high-speed chase.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not like
there was nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just normal. And then that happened.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I guess Keanu Reeves has some female intruders, stalkers. They're saying two women have invaded his home in 3 days, and they're totally unrelated to each other, too. So, because there's some construction going on at his house, and the gates were open. So, So, you know, they're saying, well, maybe the woman is not all there, and it's like, duh, you know, I mean, who does things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, do you feel flattered when someone tries to come to you? I don't know. I guess not when you're an actor and you're famous, right?
Yeah.
You can get anybody anyway.
Yeah, I think they would feel more unsafe. Like, oh no, who?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
I would guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, another Friday in the can.
Yes.
And Let's see. Do I have plans for the weekend? Not really. Actually, my younger brother is going to be here in town for business. So I'm going to get to see him. That's the one who lives in China.
Oh, wow.
So
I'll get
to see him for a day or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not that close, but it's okay. You know, I mean, we're still brothers, you know.
Right.
You try to keep things decent.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not like we hate each other or anything. All right. Well, thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Natalie Norcross, for calling in, and we'll see you on Monday.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.